Let's get into the Word. If you need a Bible, raise your hands, and one of our ushers will make sure you get one. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Today, we're going to talk about, and this is the title, and just get it very straight, it's Gifts of Healings. It's a double plural. I could tell when someone is listening to my messages or not. You know, because someone will come up to me and says, "Hey, Pastor Sam, can you pray for me for the discerning of spirits?" And I say, "You didn't listen to my message, did you? Go home and listen to the message, and I'll come pray for you afterwards." We've done that a few times, but this is Gifts of Healings. And so this is 1 Corinthians. I'm going to read two verses here. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, and then we're going to read verse 9. Verse 1 is our theme verse. "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware." And then verse 9, "To another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit." Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, and we ask, Lord, that you would really touch this word today, Lord. I know that there's healing is so multifaceted, God. There's so many dimensions of it, Lord. I can't do it justice by one sermon, but Lord, I want to do it the best that I can, God, through this time that I have, Lord. And so would you right now release the revelatory ministry of the Holy Spirit in this room. Lord, give us an ear to hear and a heart to receive what the Spirit is saying to each one of us individually and corporately as a body. Lord, I humble myself today. I ask that you use me to preach your prophetic word with power and authority. Help me, Lord, not just to convey your words, God, but to convey your heart. God, we love you in this house, God. And in Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen, amen. Amen. Even though verse 9 that I read to you says gifts of healing, I know that's not a very good translation because it's a double plural. Parse this in Greek, it's a genitive neuter plural. It's actually used only 3 times in all of the Bible, and every time it's actually used in 1 Corinthians 12. So I'll read you the other times. In verse 28, it says, "And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healings." It's the genitive neuter plural, and then helps, administrations, various kinds of tongues. And then in verse 30, the third time and the last time it's used in the New Testament, it says, "All do not have gifts of healings, do they?" And obviously verse 9 is actually the same parsing of the same word, and so we see this happening. Now, we don't really exactly know why there's a double plural. Obviously, gifts refer to many different types of gifts, and then healings refer to many different types of healings. And so you can think about it in a lot of different ways. And so, you know, a lot of commentaries, a lot of guys, a lot of scholars talk about it in different ways. So there's not one definitive way, but we can see it as some sort of variety. You know, I can see that there is emotional healing, there is physical healing, there is spiritual healing. And I also want to throw that on there, that there also could be full healing or instantaneous healing. There could be partial healing. There could be a progressive healing. And so we see that those are also different types of healings. And so maybe the plural is really referring to those different things. Again, I can't give you a definitive, but I'll just lay out what most scholars have come to some conclusion with on this topic. Now, I told you last month, I took our pastors just about a month and a half ago. We went to Oklahoma City. And so we went, and there's a conference and a group of people that are kind of like us. In other words, they're very serious about the Bible and following the Bible, and very serious about you know, studying the Bible and proper exegesis and all these things and being true to the whole counsel of Scripture. But they're also very open to the Holy Spirit. You know, they're not cessationists, they're continuationists, but more than just continuationists. See, there's one thing just to believe that gifts of the Spirit exist. It's a whole different thing to actually practice them. You know what I mean? I mean, there's so many people who say, yeah, I know it exists, but it really doesn't do anything for them. And so it's knowledge without any experience, or I would say it's knowledge without any benefit of that knowledge. And then we're kind of part of the church that not only do we believe it, but we want to practice it. We want to do it. We want to the fullness of the Spirit working in our lives. We are continuationists, but we're practicing continuationists. And another way of saying that is charismatic, okay? But I know charismatic has a lot of different connotations in some churches. It's like a curse word. And so, I try not to use that phrase as much. I always say that we believe in the present-day ministry of the Holy Spirit. Like, he didn't stop doing it after the apostolic age. And so this conference is called Convergence, and it's basically a Word and Spirit conference, which I found actually doesn't exist. But these guys are putting it together. We had the conveners, a man, he's actually an old Dallas theologian called Dr. Sam Storms. I think that came to speak was Matt Chandler, one of my favorite teachers of all time, Dr. Jack Deere, who also was a Semitic language professor from Dallas Seminary and was asked to leave Dallas Seminary because he started believing in the gifts of the Spirit. And so, Christine Kane, Dr. Michael Brown. I mean, it's an incredible a group of speakers. And it was basically these guys that all believed in what I call there were radical middle churches. And radical middle pastors. And if you don't know what that means, you need to stick around church for a while and kind of get our terminology a little bit. And so I mentioned this, that he, speaking at this conference, he spoke two sessions. The first session, he gave a two-point sermon with 20 subpoints. And so he basically gave a 20-point sermon in the first session. And the second session was a little better. He just gave basically 10 points. And so 30-point message in two sermons. I don't have time to go through all that with you here, even though it was really good. But it's on the bottom of my notes. And so if you go online and in our website, and I don't know if you guys knew, but you can actually download all the sermon notes. We don't sell it. You know, I mean, we believe it came from God anyway, right? So even though my name's on the top of it, I think it's all inspired by the Lord. And some, me too, right? I mean, I can't say it's all, some of it's my flesh as well, I have to be honest, right? And so, but it's all there. You can download it. I tell people, man, you can like preach it yourself. You know, if you're out somewhere, and I actually do know some pastors that do that, which is, I'm cool with it, you know, and stuff. And so you can go out and regurgitate it yourself and, you know, change the name. And I don't care, right? I mean, do whatever you want. Now, if you want to sell it, you should give me some proceeds, I think. I think that's only fair in that way. I mean, just a little bit. Just a little cut would be nice. As if someone's going to buy it, right? You know, who am I kidding? But it's all online, and you can get it there. But there were 2 points out of the 30, which I really, really liked. And actually, kind of, it was, you know, I was listening, and it kind of smacked me upside my face. And I, to be honest, I had to repent in a certain way. And I'll explain why I do this. So there's one of these points that he gave. Number one here, in everything he said and did, Jesus portrayed sickness as an enemy to be resisted, not a friend to be embraced. Jesus never thanked God for sickness. And so I was listening to that, and I was just going through Bible study in my mind. I was just perusing scriptures. Well, Timothy, you know, and then there were these other friends of his. And then, I'm just going through it, and I'm wondering, no one ever thanked them for sickness. No, Jesus never said, you know, Lord, I thank you that I'm learning something from this sickness. He always saw sickness as something to be opposed. He never embraced it as if, Lord, you're teaching me character through this, or you're teaching this person character through that. Every sickness that came was an enemy to him. And he opposed it, and he went against it. And I look back and I begin to think, no wonder there's not more healing in my ministry or things that are happening. I've resolved myself to say, well, this is part of the way God teaches us. And I had to sit there and I had to repent because that's not true. And if you don't really believe, you know, or really come to grips with this, I encourage you, go through the scriptures, go through the gospels. In everything he said and did, Jesus portrayed sickness as an enemy to be resisted, not a friend to be embraced. Jesus never thanked God for sickness. The other part, number two, which I really like, he says, Jesus never prayed for the sick to be healed. He commanded them to be healed. He turned to Peter's mother-in-law, and he didn't say, Lord, if it's your will to get rid of this fever, he didn't say in Jesus' name, he just said in my name, right? Fever, please leave. No, he didn't. He commanded. In fact, the word says he rebuked the fever. Why did he rebuke it? Because it was the enemy of his soul. He rebuked it because it was demonic. That's like you rebuke things because it's demonic. He rebuked it and said, fever, be gone. And the fever left. And so I recognize that, man, even in my prayers, there's probably not so much authority because as I pray, I'm hedging all the time. You know what I mean? Just in case it doesn't work out, I'm hedging. Jesus never hedged. He just said, sickness, get out. And sickness obeyed his words. There's some serious authority that's happening there. And so this is too. There's so many in Sam Storm's message. Please go online and download it and look at it. They're all like these. All 30 of them. It's crazy. You know, I was thinking, man, this is a smart dude. And he spent a lot of time thinking about healing in this way. And so now I'll say this. There is another big, big question, elephant in the room. Well, how about people that don't get healed? You know, how does that happen? Unfortunately, I'm not going to deal with that today. And it's because, I know you're like, oh, jeez. Yeah, honestly, I was really wrestling. It is so multifaceted. I cannot do justice to that through one sermon and doing this. So today, I'm just going to just talk about the gifts. And then later on, early next year, I'll bring a two-part sermon on why people don't get healed and the reasons why and those things. Is that okay? You know, and I know that this is a huge thing. I mean, it's big in my heart as well. You know, especially, you know, last year this year we had our first funeral as a church, and devastating, you know, to us as a community. I didn't realize how much of an impact it had. I went home for my sabbatical in the summer, and I was really spiritually lethargic. You know, I mean, I was doing my quiet time and I was praying and stuff, but it just didn't have the same intimacy and things. And then, I told you, I spoke at a retreat. I usually don't do it, but you know, I have some friends that I basically can't say no to. And so one of them is Pastor Brian Kim. And so he asked me to come and speak at the retreat. And so I went, and I had the privilege of speaking with Bob Sorge. Right, so he was the main speaker. I was the fill-in speaker because remember he could only speak once a day. And so the other sessions during that day I filled in. And so, and then I remember the one morning, so I spoke that morning, then he's speaking at night, and I didn't even go to the service at night. And I just felt so tired, I felt so drained, you know, and just to be quite frank, I just didn't want to go. I just, at the heart of it, I just didn't want to go. You know, fatigue, tiredness, that's just an excuse. And spiritually, I just didn't want to go, so I didn't go. You know, I stayed in the room, and I slept the whole, and I just slept all night long. And I realize that after I say that I'm giving many of you license. Well, I don't want to be there anyway, you know? It's risky, I know. But let me tell you the difference. After that night, it really, really bothered me. It really, really bothered me. And I basically began to see God's face and said, Lord, I should not feel like this. I should always want to go to the house of the Lord. I should always want to worship with my brothers and sisters. I remember my first summer when I was in Hong Kong. First summer, I was, 20, you know, young 20s. It was my junior year in university. And I came here to play basketball. And so we were staying at this youth hostel in Yamate. And we're playing games, and, you know, we had played the whole week. You know, it's so hot in Hong Kong, so humid. You know, as a Southern California kid, I didn't realize how humid it was and draining. You know, we've been playing basketball like 10 hours a day. And so Sunday came, and I was tired. And so I slept. I didn't go to church that day. Most of my teammates went. Me and two other knuckleheads, you know, on the team, we stayed back, and we slept, and, you know, had breakfast and things like that. You know, and then the other guys came back, and I still remember there was this one guy, and he was like the coolest guy. You know, he was like this really tall, you know, beautiful, long blonde hair. He was like a surfer minister. You know, he had this surfing ministry. He's traveling around the world doing surfing ministry. I thought this is the coolest guy. And so he came back from service with our other teammates. And then when he came back, and I said, "Oh, how was church?" And this is exactly what he said. He said, "You didn't miss much." And I was like, yeah, of course. Yeah, I didn't miss much. And he says, "Yeah, you only missed the power of God coming down." And I was like, ooh. And then he basically, he was a much more mature Christian. And he just told me, he says, you know, his whole life, whenever there was an opportunity to learn, to grow, Bible study, he says, "I'm there." You know, and it really did something to me. And I realized, man, I don't want to miss out on something God's doing. You know, even though he's an infinite God, he moves in our day and time. And so what if it's that one service, you know what I mean, that there was impartation, like I'll say, I don't bring this whole thing up to talk about men's retreat, right? We had an amazing men's retreat. I mean, I tell you, Dr. Samuel Huddleston, yeah, I said this so many times, you know what it was like? He was teaching us, it was like me sitting in a living room with a fireplace, and this my godly spiritual father or like grandfather, and he was speaking wisdom to us. He was and basically said, "I'm going to talk to you like I talk to my three kids and my 13 grandchildren." And he spoke. It was just the wisdom and the words, and then there was an impartation afterwards and stuff. And I tell you, man, you guys that missed the retreat, man, you guys really missed out. And even coming back here, at just that impartation that we all, and I asked the message, it was so powerful. It says that we had some other thing planned. We canceled it, and he said, "Can you lay hands on us and just impart?" And then they just spent praying and prophesying over all of us. It was powerful. I mean, it was amazing. And you missed out. You missed out. It could have been that one time where God's healing virtue comes over your life and heals so much of the brokenness or the fatherlessness that we grew up in our culture. But you missed out. So, what can I say? What can I say, right? So, I don't want to miss out anymore. I mean, it's the bottom line. And so, come back to this place. Now, what was I talking about? I totally forgot what I was talking about. What? So too many people talking. What was I saying? Oh, that's right. Thank you. Right. Yeah, so I was feeling tired and just kind of totally worn out. But yeah, it bothered me. I started really praying. And then it dawned on me that I think the funeral, going through all that stuff, just really kind of took me out. And I had to spend basically the rest of my summer just really dealing with God and just praying and seeking his face. And it was good. I came back refreshed. I came back, and it was really that time away that really helped with that. I encourage you guys that there may be seasons where you may need to go on a personal retreat or something, you know. And because if you think about it, as a child of God, you know, and you don't want to pray, you don't want to get into His Word, you know, you don't want to come to church. There's something wrong. I mean, there's something really wrong in that way. I mean, it's like being married and you don't want to talk to your wife. You know what I mean? You don't even want to sleep next to her. You want to sleep in another bed. You don't want any interaction whatsoever. And we, as outside observer, we would look at that and say, that's an unhealthy marriage. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have to be a counselor, you know, with a degree to say that's something really wrong going on there. And yet when it comes to our spiritual life and our relationship with Jesus, we have all these symptoms, and yet we're like, whatever, I'll just get over it somehow. Or what's even worse is that you don't deal with this, and then this lingers for years and years. And then you realize, actually, I hardly have any relationship with God whatsoever. You know, and then usually what happens is some crisis happens in your life, and then you run to God. He helps you, but that's not the wake-up call that you need, and it just starts digressing and digressing and digressing. I say that because some of you are sitting in this room right now, and it's exactly the place where you're at. And the alarming thing is it doesn't bother you. You become so used to it, right? The Old Testament writers, they say it in a different way. He says they forgot how to blush. You become so accustomed to that. You know, you used to look at something before, it would make you blush, and then the Israelites, you forgot how, you became so accustomed to sin. I'm not saying this is sin, but in that context, you become so accustomed to sin, it becomes so normalized in your life that you forgot how to blush. And so I think this is a wake-up call for a lot of us in this way. Okay. All right, let me move on. I got to get to this. Gifts of healing. So here's a definition. Let me give the definition of spiritual gifts first. I realize we haven't touched on this. A spiritual gift is a God-given unique capacity that is given to each believer for the purpose of releasing a Holy Spirit-empowered ministry in a situation to be repeated again and again. All right, this is different gifts, the spiritual gifts. So here's the gifts of healing. Gifts of healings refer to the supernatural releasing of healing power for curing all types of illnesses. Now, let me make this very, very, very clear to us. Even if you have the gift, you are not the healer. Turn to your neighbor, say, hey, good looking. Says, you are not the healer, okay? God is the healer. Only God heals. We are merely the conduits of God's healing virtue in someone's life. You know what I mean? And so we're called to pray. God, his job is to heal. We're called to ask. God's job is to do this stuff, is to heal. God is the healer. And so gifts of healing is the supernatural releasing of healing power for curing all types of illnesses. And I think part of this also dealing with not just physical, but also mental, emotional, relational, spiritual. All these things are wrapped up in this. So let me just give you a few examples in the Bible. There's so many, okay? So Acts chapter 3, we're going to read about Peter and John. Acts chapter 3, we're going to read from verse 1 through 9. And we see this. Now, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the ninth hour, the hour of prayer. And a certain man who had been lame from his mother's womb was being carried along, whom they had used to set down every day at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, in order to beg alms of those who were entering the temple. And when they saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he began asking to receive alms. And Peter, along with John, fixed his gaze upon him and said, "Look at us." And he began to give them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I do not possess silver and gold, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, walk." And seizing him by the right hand, he raised him up, and immediately his feet and his ankles were strengthened. And with a leap, he stood upright and began to walk, and he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Amen. Amen. So Luke chooses this. And I want you to know that there are so many different miracles, so many healings that are taking place in this time, but he chooses one. Bible writers, particularly in the Gospels, they use this literary device called particularization. And so that's what Luke is doing here. There's usually a summary statement. You know what? God was moving. Signs and wonders were happening. That's a summary statement. And then the writer will choose one incident, one example, to show what's going on in the summary statement. And so, this is one of the primary ways that Luke communicates in the book of Acts. And so, out of so many different examples of healings and miracles, they choose this one because this most directly correlates with the ministry that Luke wants to lay aside for, that wants everyone to know that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. That's his primary message, that he's the Messiah, and this is what's happening in the early church. And so, and we know that because when the man gets up and he starts walking, that he uses a very particular word. He says he's leaping and praising God. This goes all the way back to the book of Isaiah. And Isaiah will say when the Messiah comes, the times of the Messiah, is people will be leaping and jumping and praising God. And so Luke, very aware of Old Testament prophecies and words, connects these things together. That's why he picks this particular one. So here's a man lame at birth. What is Luke talking about? Luke is talking about Israel. Israel from its inception has been lame at birth. And so he's making this correlation from these things. And he comes and, you know the very famous story. They walk through. This is actually, by the way, right in front of Solomon's porch. The Gate Beautiful. He sits there every day and he looks to them and he's a beggar. He's expecting something. Peter and John come and you have famous words. Silver and gold, I have none. But what I do have, I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Rise up and walk. Notice it wasn't, Lord, if it's your will, pretty please, you know, I will like go into ministry if you do this, you know, I'll go to the next year's men's retreat if you do this, God, if you, you know, whatever, you know, get on my knees. No, they commanded. There was authority there. And they said, rise up and walk. And then he rose up to his feet. And I love this, walking and leaping and praising God. You know what I mean? Can you imagine what that would feel like if you had been lame, you like couldn't take a step your whole life, and all of a sudden your legs are strengthened? I guarantee you'd be walking and leaping and praising God. And that's exactly what happens here. And so we see this. I'll give you another one. Acts chapter 14, very similar. Verse 8, Acts 14 verse 8 is the miracle at Lystra. And at Lystra, there was sitting a certain man without strength in his feet, lame from his mother's womb, who had never walked. This man was listening to Paul as he spoke, who, when he had fixed his gaze upon him and had seen that he had faith to be made well, with a loud voice, stand upright on your feet, and he leaped up and began to walk. Do you notice a similarity between these two miracles? It says that first of all, they fixed their gaze upon him. This is my personal take, okay? And so, you know, please don't repeat it outside of church. Personal take, I believe that they were kind of like scanning him. You know what I mean? I believe they were operating in the word of knowledge. They were operating, God was speaking to them. There was something, and they were kind of reading this guy. You know, basically asking God, you know, what you're about to do to this guy. The Lord spoke to them, and so they are able to offer that command in their lives. And this particular one, I chose this particular passage because Paul says something, or Luke says something about Paul, and Paul said he saw faith in that man to be well. And so we recognize faith plays a huge part in this. We learn from the paralytic that what came through the roof, right? I mean, Luke, remember, it comes through the roof. And he says that Jesus saw faith not in that man, but in actually the friends. The friends brought, and he saw their faith and began to move on their behalf. So, and then in this case, it was the faith of the man, this lame man. I mean, this guy had incredible faith. He had faith there. Sometimes it's the faith of the person that's praying. Now, that happens there, but this is the point I want to make. In the midst of all this, there is a faith for healing. You can't get around it through scriptures. There is an element of faith that's there for healing, okay? But I want to point you to another type of faith. What I think is more precious is the faith that we have when we don't get healed. I'm going to talk about this, I told you, next year. But to say that, God, even if I'm not healed, I still trust in you. We tend to focus so much, and especially kind of the word of faith, you know, the prosperity gospel and all these guys, they put so much faith on having faith to be healed. They don't realize that there's another overriding faith that's having faith and trusting God no matter what happens to us. It's one of my favorite anecdotes is out of Job. And I think it's Job 13 or Job 30 is this one. And he says very simply, he says, Lord, even if you slay me, yet I will still trust in you. That's faith. That's the kind of faith that God wants us to have. In other words, I don't want you to minimize faith, that you need just enough faith for some action to take place. Faith is so much bigger than that. And really, the greatest faith is to continually trust and run after God, even if nothing happens. You know, it's the song, you know, that we sang, even if I don't see it, even if I don't feel it. What's the next line? You're the one who sang it, man. You're still working, right? That wasn't a test. I didn't know either, right? So, all right, even though I don't see it, even though I don't feel it, you're still working. That's kind of how it works in this way. And so there's some of faith, but there's so many examples. I mean, I don't think we need to be convinced of this. I want to show you a video. I saw this video this week, man, and so some of you guys are thinking, you know, does God still heal today? You know, maybe he does like little headaches or something. Can I get empirical evidence, you know, of a healing? I found one. This is crazy. Here's a woman here. This is in Africa. Why do healings always happen in Africa? I think they have more faith than us. I mean, let's just be honest. But here's one I found, and this lady has a deformed arm. I mean, you could actually see that it's kind of, she's, you know, like we have one, you know, joint here. She has two, and her arm's totally deformed. And so I'll show you. Just watch. It's like a two-minute video.
He's begging you, let him stay with you. This is the last day.
If you watch closely, the bone's gonna pop. Watch. You see right there? Let's all do it at the same time. I know we all want to do it. Let's all do it at the same time. Ready? That's why that's crazy. Notice all that's left is a little fatty deposit on the back of her arm. That's crazy. Do you see that? Do you see that bone pop? Oh man, that was nuts. That's pretty cool, man. I know some of you guys are freaking out right now. God's still healing. Now, okay. I was thinking, oh, so do we need to keep bottles of water up on stage and start, you know, It's okay. It's, we get so fixated on methodology. God's the healer. It's an amazing thing that God continues to do during this time. And I'll tell you my own personal example. I have a few, but for me, the gift of healing or the gifts of healings is actually very, very important to me. And it's not just for, you know, I want a supernatural manifestation. I grew up in a home, maybe like some of you, and my mom was sick all the time. When I was quite young, and my parents reminded me of this, my mom was in the hospital, and she almost died. She had some kidney issues, and they had to do, open her up and all kinds of stuff. We actually almost went near bankrupt because the hospitals, and, you know, we were poor. And so she basically had to be moved from hospital to hospital for different treatments. And so it wasn't the doctor's bill, it was the ambulance bills. And I remember as a young boy, and I was living in Huntington Beach, and every once in a while, the ambulance drivers would come to our house to collect money. And so, I mean, we nearly went bankrupt because thank God for Hong Kong, 100 Hong Kong dollars, absolutely amazing, you know, call an ambulance here and things. So I grew up like that. My mom was sick, I would say at least two or three times a week. And she had a very low white blood cell count, you know, so her immune system was very low. But you know, some people are just kind of sickly, you know, in that way. And I grew up seeing my mom in bed most of my childhood growing up. And so, as a young boy, like, where's breakfast? Well, breakfast is not happening because mom's literally in bed, sleeping the whole day, you know, for a couple, two, 3 days. And then she'd be well, she'd get up and do her thing. So as a young boy, I learned how to do laundry. I learned how to vacuum. I learned how to clean the house, do dishes. You know, my parents would tell me I used to take a little chair and put it in front of the sink because I couldn't reach, and I would do dishes, all because I wanted to alleviate work for my mom. Because, you know, I felt horrible. She's in bed, and I didn't know what to do, but my instinct was, okay, I'll do the other stuff that she can't do right now. And so that's why I'm kind of a neat freak, you know. So people make fun of me, but I want you to know there's a good root, you know, behind that all. I wanted to help my mom. I love my mom, right? And so all growing up, and I remember, and then when I became a Christian, then I knew that you could pray. And so I would sit as a college student, and my mom would still be sick, and I would sit at the bedside and just pray for her and ask God to heal her. And so when I found out that this gift existed, you better believe I went after it. I mean, you better believe I went after it with everything I had. And so I would just pray to God. I would fast. I would seek God's face. And Lord, and so we started in our youth group. And so, you know, then shortly afterwards, I went from being saved, right? And in just about a little bit over a year, I became a pastor. I mean, that's kind of my trajectory. I went from salvation to about a year and a half, and then I became a pastor. And so, you know, of a youth group. And we said, even though we didn't know a lot about it, we said, well, it's in the Bible, and so we're going to pray for the sick. And so we pray for the sick every single Sunday, like we do here at SP. And it was crazy. It was probably about a little bit less than a year. We prayed every single Sunday service for our youth group kids to be healed. I want you to know, not one of them got healed. In fact, if we're perfectly honest, some of them got worse. You know, because we'd always do this. We pray for them, and every time we pray, it's like we anticipation. Like, hey, did you get healed? Like, do you feel better? You know, and honestly, many times they said, no, I actually feel worse. You know, like my headache is worse now. You know, and we were so discouraged. But the Bible says there are these gifts of healings. And so so we went, and then at that time I started going, I was attending this church called The Vineyard. And I heard there, and this story so encouraged me. And it was John Wimber, and Wimber, very similar. He received a revelation that God was, you know, was healing people, and there was gifts of healings in these things. And so they would pray, and they used to meet in a gymnasium. It was actually Canyon High School in Anaheim, right on the foothills of Anaheim Hills. And at Canyon High School, and at the other side of the stage was this huge curtain that was there. And they would, after service, they would pray and do all these things, and then all the sick people, they would take behind the stage, you know, where that curtain is, and they would pray for them. And Wimber is telling the story, this is over a year they would pray, and not one single person got healed. And it reached a tipping point where they were praying for some guy, and he says he didn't even know what the condition was. They were praying, didn't get healed. He was so frustrated, he basically had a tantrum. And so he fell on his knees and started crying out to God, I mean, bawling. And then he realized that some of his other men that were there also were on their knees seeking God and just bawling and so frustrated. God, you know, basically, why would you tell us to do this if you're not going to do it? You know, why would you ask us to pray for healing if you're not going to heal us? And then right then, this prophetic guy had this word. And I think it was from the book of Isaiah or something. And they were actually about to abandon their healing ministry. It says, forget it. We're not going to do this anymore. It's too embarrassing. You know, people are getting worse when we pray for them. And then this word came, and I forgot exactly where the verse is, but he says that he is behind the veil. In other words, the Lord is behind the curtain. And so they decided to, all right, let's do it. They went, and that next week, guess what? Tons of people started getting healed. And this started the huge healing ministry of John Wimber and the Vineyard Church. I mean, it's amazing. It's so powerful. I personally have been healed so many times at that church. And I told this story before, but one time I was coming back. I just took the kids to our youth retreat. And you know, it's funny. When I was younger, I really disliked shoes. And so I never wear shoes, right? I was always barefoot or flip-flops. And so I went to retreat with just flip-flops, right? And most of the time I walk barefoot. And so, but I have really dry skin. And so I developed these cuts on my heels. You know when your skin gets really dry and it cracks? It's painful. It goes deep. I had these two huge cracks in my heel. And so I go to, you know, I drop the kids. And so I go to Sunday night service. And I'm sitting in the balcony, but up front, and Wimber's ministering, and some of my kids are there, and I literally are walking like this to get to my seat because it hurts so much when I step and take a full step. And all of a sudden, Wimber, strong word of knowledge, he's ministering, and this is what he says. He says, there's someone here, and you have two cuts on your heel. And he says, God's going to heal you right now. And I was like, that's got to be me, man, right? Because, I mean, that's such a unique word. And so I remember I stood up, and it's crazy. As soon as I stood up, I felt fire on my heel. I mean, I felt fire. It was hot, you know, and then the pain was gone. You know, the crazy thing was my cut was still there. You know, man, like I look, and, you know, it would have been really cool if God closed it. You know what I mean? I mean, but that didn't happen. But the pain was totally gone. And, you know, I was like stomping my feet and I was like, wow. I mean, that's just one. So many times I was healed at that church during this time. And thus started this kind of healing thing. And so we started doing that. And we started praying for kids. And kids, I was so encouraged by that testimony. And so we said, all right, we're going to keep doing it, man. I don't care if no one's gotten healed in these 9 months. We're going to keep praying because God's going to heal one person. And then it's going to be a waterfall. And it started happening. Some kid, you know, had a headache, right? And prayed for him, and he says his headache was gone instantly. And we were celebrating, man. Look, let me cue you in on something. If we can't celebrate God for the little things, you know, like a little headache, I don't know. You know, I mean, obviously, we always think about the big things. But we need to learn to celebrate in these little things. You know, be faithful with the little things. And he will entrust us with much. And so we celebrated, man. You know, it was crazy. I remember one time we had this girl, and she had a birth defect. You know, she was born with club feet. And so she came up to the front, and she had serious back pain. Right? And I was praying for her. And, you know, she was kind of not so mobile and stuff. And as I was praying for her, the Lord gave me a word of knowledge for her, you know, about the situation. And I said this, and all I saw when I prayed for her, I saw the walls of Jericho. And I said, okay, there's something that had to do with seven. So I said, I think this is what the Lord wants you to do. The Lord wants you to lie down and get up seven times. I don't know if you've ever had back pain, but lying down and getting up is not a good idea for you to do. But I just felt, so I told this student, I said, hey, you know, I know I got this crazy picture. You know, I don't know if this is the Lord, but, you know, I mean, you're in pain. What can it hurt? Right? Well, it might hurt more, but, you know, it's okay. And so I said, can you lie down? And seven times, I think on the seventh time when you get up, God's going to heal you. And so, you know, we're like, it's very tense, right? And so she loved me. She trusts me. Says, okay, yeah, peace, Sam. You know, I'll do it. So she goes down, she gets back up, and every time I say, "How you feel better?" No, no. Goes number two. Do you feel better? No. Three, four, five, six. Right? She gets up six. You feel better? No. It's actually getting worse. And then she goes down the seventh time. She gets back up. How do you feel? And she's like, like it's gone. Right? And so we celebrated again and all these things. And it was happening over and over and over again. I went to a retreat and I was speaking at my friend's retreat. Actually, I was in the midst of this actually, to be honest, this is where it really launched. I was speaking at a retreat and, you know, I was for my friend's church. I was actually in the midst of a 40-day fast during this time. At the retreat, it was probably like day 35 of the retreat. I wasn't eating anything. Right? I was on a liquid fast. And so I'm fasting, and I would normally not do these things, but, you know, there are certain friends that you can't say no to. This was one of those friends. So I spoke at his retreat, and I tell you, the healing virtue of God spilled over. I don't know what happened, but I'll tell you, every single person in that retreat was healed. I want you to know the healing power of God was so strong. We stopped calling out illnesses. It got to the point where anyone sick, just come up to the front. And I kid you not, as kids were walking to the front to be prayed for, they would get healed. And so they come into the front. I said, what's wrong with you? They're like, oh, I'm healed. I said, go sit down. That's happened so many times. The power of God was so strong. And I feel like at that time, I think that for me personally, I felt like the gift was released in that way. I was speaking at Cerritos High School. I still remember when I was a youth pastor, every week I would be on some campus speaking at their Christian club. And so at this particular, I was at Cerritos High School. I was preaching at their Christian club. And so, you know, I was ministering. And so we said, oh, let's pray. We're going to pray for the sick because God was doing this right now. And this young girl came up to the front and she had a growth on her hand. I don't know what it was. It was big, man. Right, this huge growth on her hand. And I remember I said, all right, let's pray. I mean, I had so much faith back then. I just put my hand on her hand. I prayed, and this is seriously the coolest feeling, one of the coolest I've ever had. I could feel the thing disappear under my hand. You know, you kind of start out like this, and by the end, it's gone. And then it's kind of like, you know, like you feel it. You're like, oh, my, oh, you know, I said different words than now, but I was like, oh, my goodness. And then all of a sudden, I take my hand off because you're wondering, like, oh, what's, you know, what's going on there? And it's totally gone. And she's like started bawling and crying. I was speaking at Penn State University. This is later on when I was in college ministry. And I was speaking at this big event that they had. And they had a evangelistic night. So the first night was just for Christians. The next night was for all their friends. It was about evangelism. And so she was running this hip hop team, you know, but she had sprained her ankle. Actually, kind of messed it up really bad. She was in a boot, and she came up to the front during, you know, the Christian night and prayed for her. Laid my hands on her boot, you know, and I said, hey, take it off, right? And so she took it off, and I mean, it's crazy. I don't recommend this because she had all this wrapping. And she started stomping her leg because she was totally healed. Right? I mean, this is pretty good, you know, time for an amen or, you know, clap or something like that. Right? Like I said, if we can't celebrate the little things, right, then I don't know if other things will be entrusted to us in this way. But I mean, so many different things. Even, I mean, here at SP, so many people receive healings, all different types of things. This is healing virtue that God wants to release in the church. It's something that the Lord wants to move in the midst of this, in the midst of our lives, in such a powerful way. And so, why should you want this gift? It's pretty stinking obvious, isn't it? You know, we should want this gift because there's a lot of people that are sick around us. There's a lot of people that are suffering. Maybe you are like me, You know, and you have someone that's at home that's sick and ill or diseased or all kinds of things. You, as a child of God, you should ask God for this gift to help. You should ask God so you could pray for people and they would be made well. You know, you see your loved ones in pain and suffering, and we want them to get well. Listen, I believe in doctors. I believe in medicine. You know, I remember John Wimber, you know, early on when he was teaching on healing, and he would say, well, when you don't get healed, you know, what do you do? In this context, he was talking about a headache. What do you do? And he says, well, I pray. I ask God to heal me. If he doesn't do it, then I go get 2 aspirins. You know, and it's very so practical, right? You know, and so in this way, we want people to get well. And God uses doctors, like I said, and medicine and all those things. But, you know, even doctor will tell you that they don't heal anybody. Really, the body heals itself. Trust me, I've broken plenty of bones in my body, done all kinds of damage. And the body actually heals itself. In other words, God created us, our bodies, in such a way that it actually regenerates on its own. He works in the processes of his creation. God has given gifts of healings to the church. So many of us sitting in this room, I believe that now all could be, you know, just for a time, or it could be something that's continual that's happening in our lives. And this is how this is. This is about the gracelet that I was talking about, you know, early on in this place. And so he's given these gifts of healings to the body of Christ. Don't you want to use this gift that God has given you to be a blessing, to pray for people, especially pray for non-believers? Right? You know, I mean, just to ask God and you see something, you just move in the midst of them. You know, I'm just thinking about it. If the Bible says if they hear prophecy, they'll fall down on their knees and say, God is among you. Can you imagine if they got healed? I mean, it's crazy. It's the authenticator of the gospel, you know, more than anything else. And so, I mean, wouldn't you want this gift to pray? And even if you're like, I don't know if I have this. You know, you guys know my life verse. You have not because you ask not. I always ask. I'm bold, man. I ask all the time. You have not because you ask not. And so we should ask and then pray for the sick. That's the only way you figure it out. You know, John Wimber, again, I mean, I got to go to him because he's probably the one that taught me most about this than anyone else on this, you know, on this planet. And Wimber says, how do you know if you have the gift of healing or not? And Wimber says, pray for 1,000 people. If no one gets healed, you don't have the gift. So practical, right? Pray for 1,000 people. You know, and there's certain seasons in the church where this moves so powerfully. You know, there's a very famous evangelist called John G. Lake. And John G. Lake, way back in the days, he was, if you know, ever hear about the healing rooms, he's the one who started the healing rooms up in Spokane, Washington. That's really spread, this movement spread all over the world. And John G. Lake, he says at a certain time of his life, the healing gift was so powerful, he would actually walk into hospitals and basically clean out the hospitals. He would go in and he'd have doctors with him and he would diagnose better than the doctors. The Spirit told exactly what's going on and then he'd pray for them, they get healed and they would leave the hospitals. He had this season of his life where he would literally empty out hospitals. I mean, it's crazy. I believe that healing virtue is going to come and hit the church again before our lifetime. I think it's on the verge of happening. And I feel like it's on the verge of happening here at SP. You know, and I think there's something very prophetic connected with Calvin and all these things that's going to really stir us up, not to give up, but to go forward even more and to operate in the faith that God wants his church to have. I think there's just something so prophetic and so spiritual about that. And so God is the one who heals, but we are the one who asks, and we're the ones that pray. Let me close. 1 Corinthians 14, pursue love, yet desire earnestly spiritual gifts, especially gifts of healings. Ask, and you shall receive. Amen? Let me close our eyes. Let me invite the worship team to come. Today is Communion Sunday. We're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper. So I invite our ushers to come to the front. I'm going to read from the scriptures. 1 Corinthians 11, starting at verse 23. For I received from the Lord, which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner should be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if it does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep." And so the Lord tells us that we come to the table regularly. But more so than the frequency, he highlights the fact that we come with reverence. We come with purity of heart. We judge our body rightly. We come to the table in humility, in gratitude, thanking him for what he has done for us. Even though we're focusing on us internally, the Lord's Supper is not about us. It's about him. It's about the cross. And so the team's going to lead us in a song, and I want to encourage you to worship along, and we're going to pass out the elements. I want you to hold on to them, and we'll take them together as a body at the end.
Not bow low. Jesus defeated the darkness.
Is there anyone who's not yet received the elements? Let's hold them in our hands, close our eyes, let's bow our heads, and let's continue to examine ourselves. And let's pray. Pray together. Father, we thank you for the cross, God. Lord, thank you for your loss. Jesus, thank you for the terrible price you paid so that we don't have to pay it ourselves. You substituted yourself on our behalf, and we are so grateful to you, God. Lord, come and teach us, God, to walk in your ways, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray together. This is Christ's body broken for you, and this is the blood of the new covenant poured out for you. And if you're able, let's rise to our feet. Let's sing this together. As we've been doing throughout our series, if you're here today and you're asking God, Lord, I would like to receive this gifts of healings, I want you to come to the front and we're going to lay hands on you. We're going to ask God to bring an impartation over your life. And so myself, pastors are going to pray, others, let's just continue to worship the Lord. And you say, Lord, I just want to be used in the gifts of healings. We're going to pray right now. Good, lead us.
Christ Redeemer. Jesus, we remember, he has won the war. Jesus, my
Let's pray together. Father, we just pray, God, that you would continue to release healing virtue in the midst of us, God. And all the ones that came forward, God, I pray there will be something ignited in their spirit, God. And now, Lord, that you give them opportunities to pray for the sick. God, let sick people just be attracted to them, God. And they would lay hands and pray and people get well. These signs shall follow those that believe, God. But we don't follow signs. Signs follow us. And so would you release, God, healing virtue. God, let something spectacular, Lord, happen in the midst of us, God. We thank you, Lord. We love you, God. We bless you. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Lord, lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, shalom, from this day forever. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You guys, this week, I want you to, this week, pray for 3 sick people. That's all. 3, right? That's like 1 every 2 days, right? And just pray and see what God does. Amen?
Amen.
All right. God bless you guys. Have a great day.